Hey everyone! Welcome to Double D's podcast.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about international couples, so stay tuned. But before we move on, we must let you know that there is cuss words, so don't show this to your mom.
Or grandma. Let's hit it!
Alright, I think the first thing that we have to talk about when we talk about couples is the beauty standards.
Yeah.
And we can talk about what they are like for men and women over in Slavic countries, and then over here in America. And what do you think? What are the beauty standards for men?
They're completely different. I would say the most interesting thing is that here in the US, because there's so many cultures, there's so many different nationalities, people's standards have changed and they're more diverse.
Yeah.
As opposed to in Slavic countries, there's more like one picture, you know, if like you take this like one girl, she's going to be like everyone's standard, you know, like there's kind of like very little room, you know, to move there.
That's
and
true.
And here you can, there's everyone, you know.
Yeah. Some people, very, like in America, most people are like, I don't have a type.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, I can, like, you know, I'm attracted to any race, I'm attracted to any age, any look, you know, big, skinny, like, whatever. But I feel like it, over in Slavic countries, most guys have a very similar type.
Oh, they do. Absolutely, they
and
do.
It's, like, just one girl who's, like, skinny but still has ass.
Yeah,
and tits.
The only difference would be like brunette versus blonde.
Yes, that's the type. That
but
guys usually
body wise and like character wise, it probably would be very similar.
But I found this something interesting. Like a lot of Russian girls that come to America, they tend to like black guys.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
I'm not sure what's the reason, but it's just something interesting. Like
I know,
like one of the women I know, she's married to, you know, a black guy.
Is she Russian?
Yeah.
She is
Russian. She's like from, you know, just making sure it's still like, she's I think she's from Nizhny Novgorod.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married to a guy from Jamaica, and they have a son. So it's
wow.
He's like, yeah, and the son is, he's very, very cute. He's, you know, he's just
mixed
little,
kids are so handsome.
Yes.
Like that's just a fact. Yeah. Always.
And that's another thing. I feel like in Ukraine there is a lot more mulat, which mulat is just a word in Russian for mixed.
Yes.
There's a lot more mulat in Ukraine, and like usually, like I have a friend, she's Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to art school together. She is gorgeous. And she is mixed somewhere. But she looks like a model. She's so beautiful. Like, she has big green eyes. Like, kind of tinted skin a little bit, you know?
It's wow.
Just she's gorgeous. I'm, like, so jealous every time I see her on Instagram. I'm like, I can't find anything ugly about you. This is, like, so
literally
unfair. And like that's one of the things, like in Russia's stereotype is that mixed people are so beautiful.
Yeah. No, the one of the most beautiful people I know, I have a friend as well, and she's Ukrainian, but she's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who her dad is, because he's a sailor.
Mm.
So he could be anyone, but that's why she is so pretty. Like she's one of the most gorgeous people I know.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting how, you know, like standards change as people move here. But I mean, we've changed, you know, since we moved here, I feel like, and our view of the world and of people and how they can look like, you know, like, as opposed to, like, our parents coming here and then seeing all this variety of people, and it might be scaring some people because they've just, our people grew up in Soviet Union, our parents grew up in Soviet Union, they're not used to seeing so many different people, they're just used to seeing regular white people, average, you know, looking, they all look pretty much the same, and then seeing all these different
cultures
and nationalities.
Because in Russia, and like, my mom is from Bukhara, which is a very diverse city in Uzbekistan, it has like so many what is it called, communities.
Mm-hmm.
and they're like assigned communities, they're like actually within the government of the city.
Wow.
They're assigned communities, Afghani, Armenian, Georgian, Azerbaijani, and they're all like different communities, and they like if there's a, it's kind of like a club almost, and if like someone has a birthday, that community goes to that house and they celebrate the birthday. I know this because my grandpa was assigned Armenian when.
Oh my God.
He's actually a foster child.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, he didn't know who his parents were and he only knew his name, which was Mikhail. But the Soviet the Soviet government looked at him and they were like, what's your last name? He's like, I don't know. They're like, what are your parents? He's like, I don't know. And so the government looked at his nose and they were like, you're Armenian.
Yeah.
And now, and then on the hell in his passport in Soviet Union, he was Soviet citizen with Armenian nationality. And so Armenian community would go over to his house every year he had a birthday and they would celebrate it. And then my mom was like standing aside and she's like, is he actually Armenian? And the Armenian community was like, no, he's not. He's not. He's not one of us. But I mean,
we don't claim him.
No. Not, yeah. It's more like, you know, he doesn't look like us. And in cities like that, even if you're white, like all the Caucasus countries, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, they're from the Caucasus. But to Russian people, they're not white.
Exactly.
They're not.
That's so funny.
Yes. And then I come here and I knew how to, you know, differentiate Azerbaijan from Armenian, from Georgian, from, you know, Chechen and all those peoples over in Caucasus and the Central Asia. I knew how to, well, Central Asia people are more
Most
Asian.
Of those countries Russia invaded, by the way.
Yes, that's true. Like, Uzbekistan was invaded by the Russian Empire and then by the Soviet Union because it has a lot of gold, uranium. It was actually a station for chemical weapons, but we're not going to go off topic. We can talk about politics.
It's going to be another episode.
Yeah, we can talk about politics and then colonialism later, but overall, like in Russia, there is this, you know, mentality of how people from the southern countries, like from the Caucasus, are not white. And then I come here and I'm like, yeah, they're not white. And then I look at their pictures more recently as a grown adult. I'm like, they're so white. Here in America, you would consider them being white. Like, even Turkish people, I feel like. I don't want to offend any Turkish people, though, but, like, in America, they're considered
white.
And even, I feel like there is, like, when you fill out the application for race, like, there is no section for Middle Eastern.
Because
that's not a race to America.
Yeah.
But it more is now, probably, because of, like, so much conflict and so many things that are going on there. But it's, you know, like, Arab people are not considered a different race. They're still considered Caucasian for some reason. And that's what is proven, that race is just, like, a social construct. And here in America, it's more like, on how different are you from this white European person? And you're black, obviously, that's, like, the complete opposite of the spectrum of how different you are. And then Asian, Indian are still Asian, and, you know, there's Hispanic race, and it's just, like, so different, like, race-wise in America than it is in Russia, because we have our own races there.
Oh, yes, we do. I remember there was this picture going viral. It probably was in more, like, Slavic TikTok or Instagram, but it literally had, like, a chart, and it was, like, probably 12 faces. And it was, like, average face of an average Russian, Ukrainian. And it was literally, the weird thing is, the average Ukrainian face was a picture literally of my dad. Literally of how my dad looks like. And that's so funny. Like, that's how people in Soviet Union differentiated.
Yeah.
And that's probably how your granddad was differentiated as... Yeah.
Which is kind of racist.
It is. It very.
You can still be Ukrainian, but look different.
Exactly.
Than, you know... Like, my dad, he looks pretty Slavic. Like, my friends will look at him and they're like, yeah, he's a Russian man, for sure.
Cute.
But my mom, she was called, like, slurs in Russia just because she's a little bit darker. She has, you know, big, dark eyes with, like, eyeliner almost. Like, her eyelashes are so big. Like, she looked a little bit darker. But, and people, because of that, would just call her slurs and be like, why is your Russian so weird?
The good example is Irina Shayk. She's a model and she is Russian, and she is darker. She's way darker than an average Russian person, and she was bullied in school for this.
Oh my God.
She was called a monkey, which is very rude.
That
and kids in school are very rude always, but I think I'm not sure, like, what her nationality is. Like, maybe one of her parents was, like, somewhere else. But yeah, she was bullied for that. But yeah. She's technically considered Russian because she was born in Russia and yeah. everything. So that's very, you know, if you're very different or if you're slightly darker.
Yeah.
Then, you know, an average.
You're considered something like, what is it called? I forget. There's a word for, like, darker men in Russia. They call them, like, oh, he's an islander or something.
Yes. Like, something
spicy yes. or whatever. Like, some, you know. But, yeah, it's very different and very interesting.
Very.
Like. And then, like, that's why America has a lot more, like,
to choose from.
To choose from.
And exactly.
There is somebody for everybody here. You
exactly.
know? And in Russia, there is a lot of fat shaming. So, like, for guys, you have to be, like, almost as skinny as like, a stick.
Six-pack, you know, like look very,
yeah, for
you
women,
know.
Guys have to be,
exactly.
like, fit, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some women who like, dad bods or whatever
yeah.
it's called.
Beer belly.
But it's very interesting how it's, you know, it's very different. That kind of leads to another topic of, like, habits and culture and how expectations of men and women are different in both of those countries.
Yeah.
And this is, like, let's twist this a little bit this way. And this is why it's so different in America and Russia, is because of different, like, economics and different yeah. expectations of men and women. And I don't know, like, it's our subjective opinion because we're both dating a white American guy.
That's true. That is very true for very many reasons. But yeah, I feel like Slavic guys are very, well, first, like, Slavic culture is very conservative in a lot of ways. I feel like it started becoming less conservative in the last couple of years, but especially after Soviet Union collapse, but also, like, probably, like, people our parents' age, you know, they're still kind of stuck in this, you know, guy's supposed to be a provider and a girl is supposed to be, you know, like, not a sugar baby, but she's supposed to be taken care of.
Yeah. But take care of the house.
Exactly. Which it flows into, like, guys always pay on first date and all the dates. Guys always get girls, you know, expensive gifts and iPhones, and, like, for occasions they get them, like, cars and stuff like that, you know, that, which is very gold digging.
Yeah.
At times. And me personally, I don't like that about our culture, and how, like, some girls expect you to, and they will not even look at you
yeah.
at the guys, you know, who cannot afford that, even though they may have a good job, they may have a good stable income, yeah. but just because they cannot afford the luxuries, you know, they're not going to even consider them.
Like, they
know.
Look at cars.
Exactly, they look at cars before you.
Yeah.
They look at the ring when you're proposing to them. They look at the ring before yeah. they look at you. You
yeah.
know, that's just so.
That's what, like, so weird to me, how we are so different from that.
Yeah.
Like, from that, like, Slavic woman gold digging type of personality. I'm not saying all Slavic women are like that.
They're not, yes.
But
they're
it's
not.
It's more common than you think. Like, and I mean, even women in America could be, you know,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
And catfish and do all of that stuff and just wouldn't look at you unless you have a BMW. But it's, you know, kind of, that's why it's, like, so different. And then expectations for men are that he has to be rich with rich parents. But, you know, for some people who do find love in their broke college years, that's, you know, you don't look at those things.
Exactly.
And expectations for women in Slavic cultures is also very, like, conservative. Like, she has to fit a certain standard. She has to be a provider. She has to, you know, have,
look great at all times.
Hips to give babies.
Yes, as many babies as you can or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
exactly. Although I would say, I feel like in Russia, women are a lot more girl bossy than here in America. Like,
yeah.
And I remember, like, watching a lot of things in Soviet Union, women could take leadership positions and
they
leadership
could.
Roles. And, like, both of my grandmas were directors at what is it called?
Say it in Russian.
Fabrica.
Factory.
Factories, yeah. They were directors at factories, both of my grandmas.
Wow.
During the Soviet Union. In Uzbekistan, which...
Wow.
Uzbekistan is a little more conservative, but back then Uzbekistan was so Russified that, you know, they didn't put Uzbek people in leadership positions. They put, you know, my grandma, mm-hmm. who was Ukrainian, and the other grandma was Russian, and they, you know, they were the leaders there, and they would, you know, like, boss men around, and they would be fine with it because they're in the leadership position. But now Russia is going towards more of a, like, I would say, I don't know if this is too strong of a word to say, like, fascist type of, you know, culture where men are supposed to be strong and leaders, and because you don't see any woman in politics, yeah. other than like some senators and governors.
Yeah.
So, but here in America, women are a lot more independent. There is a lot of, you know, feminist movements here, which is why it's so much more prominent here in the US. People are like, oh, U.S. is so misogynistic, which it is in a lot of cases, just because feminism movement exists. I don't know what else to say about it.
Just... Honestly, there was one more thing that I wanted to bring up, and it's one of the reasons kind of why I moved here, and my family too, because my sister moved here before I did with her family, and she just wanted a bit better future for me. Even if my parents didn't have a chance to move here, she was like, I will do everything in my power to bring you over here. Just like for, you know, work and travel or anything possible, because I want to make sure that I have a good future for you. And if I stayed back there, I feel like it would be very hard. For an average person, especially a woman, it is very hard to earn your own living and move out of your parents.
Yes.
I feel like if I stayed there and lived there, it would be extremely hard for me to earn my living to the point where I could afford to live on my own, even not buy a property, yeah. just even at least rent, have a car, you know, have money to cover utilities and everything else that comes with it. It's extremely hard over there.
Yeah.
So most of the girls, my friends that I still... I'm in contact with back there, they still live with their parents, you know, unless you have a good stable income and you've earned that, you know. I know very few people who can live on their own. They're either like having roommates or living with their, you know, spouse or their boyfriend, girlfriend. So it's extremely hard over there, yeah. with that, you know. Like here I feel like women have more opportunity to earn their That's own true. living. And, I mean, yeah, obviously economy right now is not a best day, but yeah. if you have a good job that can earn you a living, you can afford that. Yeah.
And I feel like it comes from, like, in Slavic cultures, a lot of girls end up doing something girly for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Like, I have classmates who do dances, and that's their career now. I have classmates who do nails, and you know, you see a lot of Slavic women
extremely just common
tend to do nails and hair, and that's how they earn a living. I mean, a lot of women go into a teaching job in Russia. It's very common to be a teacher, like a female teacher. It's like less common to be a male teacher, but teachers don't get paid anything there, so like that's why, you know, it's really hard to move out of your parents' house. A lot of people in Eastern Europe live with their parents until like they're 30 sometimes.
It's three generations in one apartment.
Oh yeah.
So it's a very common thing you
in
see
in Uzbekistan
there.
It could extremely, be four.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Uzbekistan it's even more difficult. And for guys in Eastern European countries, and here I feel like in the US too, it's a lot easier to find a job that can pay like really well, like a building job,
yeah.
you know, in construction, cars. There's a lot more money in those industries. Here in America, it's more common for a girl to be in that position, and nobody yeah. will look at you weird. It would just be like, oh, she's just a little bit, you know, of a tomboy or a girl boss, yeah. or she just loves cars so much. Like, I had a classmate here in America who was in automotive, and she just loved it so much. And there were a lot of girls in automotive class. So it's, or like a film class, you know, I was in film here, and there is a lot of girls in our film class, even though right now it's a male you know, centered industry,
mm-hmm.
Because you need to be strong to move stuff. You need to, you know, be like, have, you know, connections or whatnot. But yep. now it's a lot more common for women. And then here in America, it's more like, it's less of a division line. It's kind of like a gradient. While in Russia, there is like this division line of jobs for men versus jobs for women. And usually jobs for women don't get you as much money as a job for a man would. And that would just kind of lead into, you know, the more centered guy mentality,
yeah,
of American guy versus a Russian guy. Like, why do you think, and here's my opinion, if you, I can go first,
sure,
so that, you know, you feel comfortable saying stuff.
Sure.
I would never date a Slavic man. And the reason is...
And this is our subjective opinion, y'all.
Subjective opinion.
To all the Slavic girls and guys, yeah, who may get offended.
Yeah. And this is what my mom and my parents say. My mom told my brother, you should date a Slavic girl. And then she told me, you should date an American guy. So
that is so funny.
Or, like, you know, like, for... I feel like for me, Slavic guys are, like, cold... They're not, there's a lot of toxic masculinity culture.
Very, very.
And they're not supposed to show any emotion. Like, I look at, you look, like, we look at our dads. There is, like.
There's zero emotions.
They never
zero.
Cry. They never show emotion. And it's not bad for a guy to show emotion. Like,
it's not.
Or, kind of be a baby sometimes around,
yeah,
you. That shows that they're comfortable. You know, around
they're human.
You.
They are human. Sometimes, like, I would look at my dad, I would be like, Mom, how did you marry such an emotionally unavailable person? I've never seen my dad cry.
No,
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he have ever... I mean, maybe he, even if he wanted to cry, he wouldn't cry. I think his,
yeah,
like, tear canals,
yeah,
are blocked right now, or just,
yeah,
not active anymore.
Yeah.
So...
That's why, like, I feel like American guys are so easygoing. They don't discriminate you.
Absolutely.
For no reason. They find you interesting.
Yep.
They're easy. And for American guys, it's easier to get a girl than for a Russian guy. Because in Russia, I mean, I've never been flirted with in Russia,
mm-hmm,
but I've been flirted with by a Slavic man. And it's just not, it's not it. You know, I don't know if you've seen, there's a TikTok going around, like, how British guys flirt.
Yeah.
And it's just so awkward, and they're just staring at you, and like, so, where you from? You know, and it's,
yes,
just,
it's
just,
so intimidating. I think,
yeah,
I remember this story, and Emma Watson was telling this on some show, and she said, I think she was studying in, I'm not sure where she was studying, Harvard?
Emma Watson?
Yes.
Might have been.
I'm not sure. She was here in the university in the U.S.
Yeah.
And she was asked, who do you find easier to talk to or date, American guys versus British guys? And she was like, American guys, you know, like, I met this guy first day, and then, you know, after a couple of hours of us talking, he was like, oh, you're cool, let's go on a date.
Yeah.
You know? And she was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Is that so easy for you? Because the British guys will... Well, really, that applies to a lot of European... cultures and,
yeah,
guys, how guys are. She said the British guys would just ignore me for the first couple of weeks or months, and then maybe they will acknowledge your existence and be like, okay, I like you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that comes with very, yeah, that's us growing up and having like Slavic classmates and seeing how, I mean, I've seen how the guys, I'm gonna explain something. So in Slavic schools, in most Slavic countries, you have one group of people that you study with first grade through high school, through you when you graduate high school. So you're basically with the same group of people for 12, 11 years. Right now it's 12. And you see them grow. You see them change and develop into, you know, being a little annoying boy into the more annoying guy when they're going through puberty, and,
yeah,
then going through, like, a decent, kind of decent people, you know?
Yeah.
But then you see how they change, and they're very closed up with their emotions. They will make fun of you. They will do all of that, but they will never admit that they like you or hate you. You cannot tell.
Yeah.
You, most of the times you cannot tell. And with American guys, it's just so easy to, and that makes it easier for us girls too, yeah, to understand. Like, we don't want any games, you know, like, yeah, I don't, like, that's just some toxic shit whenever people are like, play, you know, like, playing games, emotional roller coasters, you don't understand what's going on, you know,
yeah,
how, what is the point in this, yeah, you know, relationship interaction. And then with American guys, you know, clearly, like, he likes you, you know, and yeah, then you either respond back or no, you know, that's just, yeah, makes it a lot easier. There's no, like, there's mind none games of that, exactly, there's none of those mind games, no drama, it's just, yeah, easy, you know.
I remember in Russia, it's so fucking common for classmates, because classes are built this way, that for 11 years, you're just with the same group of people, and there is a lot of cases when your classmates will end up marrying each other.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't even imagine that they would end up together, because all those 11 years in school,
they hated each other.
They fucking hated each other's guts, because they were desk mates for so long. And, like, when you're a desk mate, it's kind of like, ooh, like, yeah, you're gonna end up marrying each other. Like, that's so, like, what is going... And you never even know yourself. Like, I didn't know... A guy had a crush on me until the moment I was leaving America.
That's crazy.
And he told my friend, he's like, I like both of you, but Diana is living to a different country, so let's go out. I was like, what? Well, to be fair, me and my friend were like the same type. We looked like sisters, but it was so weird to me. I'm like, he likes me, like, he hated me, and yeah, I acted like I hated him all the time. And that's why in Russia, there is this thing that people say, if he hits you, he loves you.
Which is...
And now, as a grown
no
adult...
No to domestic violence.
Yes, as a grown, I've realized how much of, like, you know, they just put, like, this cannon on domestic violence.
Yeah.
In a way, like, oh, exactly, he hits you, he loves you. But, bitch, what?
Excuse Which, this is probably me? A very deep topic about, like, how Slavic culture normalizes domestic violence. And yeah, a lot of times,
oh, yeah,
I hope it is going away right now, but it used to be to that point when, like... Oh, well, he hits me. Well, where am I gonna go? You know, I have kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's common here as well. I would say, like, it would be the women who encounter that, they were probably in the same situations and they have their reasons for not leaving. But I feel, yeah, like in that culture, it's very, because people are so judgy, they were like, oh, why are you divorcing? You,
yeah,
know, like, what will people say? You know,
yeah,
you think about more what people will say as opposed to what's better for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, and this just kind of goes into, like, the topic of, like, couples in general. How here in America, it's so easy for people to break up. And,
yeah,
and their friends, and they could still be friends with their ex, or friends with the friends of their ex,
yep,
and whatnot. And, like, there's just so simple, like, oh yeah, let's separate, this is not working for both of us.
Yeah.
And it's so easy, and it's fine, and it's, but, and it's healthy.
Yeah,
for
it's
people.
Sometimes it's exactly,
yeah,
they just realize that they're not made for each other, and it's,
yeah,
not that you're bad or you're,
yeah,
bad, you know, there's something wrong with you, but it's just,
yeah,
being comfortable around each other, you,
yeah,
know, people just realize that, and that's it, that's
or
fine.
Like, there are some boundaries in America. There are so, like, there's such a big thing about personal space,
mm-hmm,
and me time. In Russia, that's not a thing. Like, it's not, like, if you're dating someone, you're like together all the time,
you're breathing their air, they're,
yeah,
breathing your air,
and like, what do you mean you're going out with the boys? Like, and obviously that happens, like, you still have your own friends, you still do your own stuff, but it's mostly, like, toxic, unhealthy couples, the majority of the couples, I feel like. And I feel like with time, like, when they get married, there's a lot of, like, weird shit going on in their marriage, that they would just end up hating each other, but they're still together,
yeah,
because they can't fall apart. Like, there's this toxicity that is so common in Russia. And here, it's like, oh, yeah, but it's okay, we'll find someone else for each other, and, like, I wish you the best, or,
yeah,
whatever. Obviously, that's not gonna be the case, God forbid, if,
yeah,
my boyfriend and I break up. That's, it's gonna be, like, really, really bad.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet, yeah, like, it's, you know, for some couples, when they're, like, so good together for such a long time, you love each other, something terrible must happen for both of you to break up. But in the beginning, like, first year, you know, you can easily
honeymoon phase, you're in love, you don't care. And then it ends,
and you're like, I actually don't like you anymore, I want to be with someone else, and it's just, like, more fine and more common. But in Russia, like, girls would just go insane, and something would happen. I feel like now that we've touched those bases, we can talk about how, what it's like to date someone from a different country, from a different culture. Yeah. What is it like for you? What is it like when he met your parents, you met his parents?
So, first, I was never opposed to dating a Slavic guy. I was never opposed to dating a Slavic guy until one point. But it's harder to find a Slavic guy here in the US, obviously, because there's not that much variety. As toxic as it sounds, like, obviously when you live in that country, you know, you see a lot of people, and I'm a very against dating someone, like, when it's forced. You know, or, like, even when someone comes up to you on the street and, like, oh, you're pretty, let me take you out on a date. I feel like it's kind of forced.
It is.
I would like, my perfect way of meeting a guy is just meeting naturally and then becoming friends and then becoming something more when you feel like you have that chemistry. Like, you can't force a chemistry on someone.
Yeah.
But back to the cultural difference. First, like, again, me with my boyfriend, we met at work, and it was so easy. It was just, like, so natural. Again, like, the chemistry is not forced. And then when we realized we have feelings for each other, we started dating. And then I met his parents pretty early on in our relationship, and they just felt very chill to me. Like, American parents, most of American parents are very chill.
Yeah.
I would not say they were, like, religious or anything, so it was not like, oh, you guys have to, you know, like, you're not allowed to go to his room or anything or stuff like that. You know, they're extremely chill with that, and I'm glad my parents were too, because my mom was extremely religious for a very long time. My dad wasn't, but they were pretty, like, as Slavic parents.
Yeah.
You know, they had their rules of, like, oh, like, a guy is supposed to come to you, you know, bring you a huge bouquet of flowers, pick you up, open the door for you. Exactly. Like, he has to win you. Yeah. That's the most Slavic.
It's also old school.
It is very old school, but that's one of the things that I think, like, is kind of outdated. Like, if I like a guy, I mean, like, yes, you both have to make gestures to kind of earn each other, show that you're interested, show that you're into this.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make, you know, like, I will go to the edge of the world for you, you know, in the beginning, at least.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm a prize, you know, and you're supposed to win me. Like, exactly. I'm not a gold medal dude.
Yeah.
But for me, it was, and then he met my parents, and then obviously, you know, he knew I'm Ukrainian, and then my parents don't really speak a lot, you know, good English. So it was obviously a little hard at times, you know, but obviously I'm there all the time, you know, whenever I need to translate and stuff. But my parents are trying to like, communicate here and there, you know, speak little words. And it was different sometimes, like, especially for him, like, some of the things, like, we eat or, you know, how we just live, you know, is weird, definitely. Yeah. But for me, because I've kind of been familiar with American culture for a long time before I moved here, I kind of knew, you know, like, there are ways of living and their culture. And obviously for him, it was so new because, you know, I don't think he's ever, you know, known a immigrant that close.
Yeah.
So it was very different. But I think we're very on the same page, though, about a lot of things, even though I was born in a different part of the world. He was born here and raised here, and I was raised there. I feel like our views on a lot of things are still very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
You know, like, I never expected, well, I want to say that we pay, you know, we never pay like 50-50, but we can pay like, he pays one time, I pay the next time. You know, I don't have this mentality of like, oh, you're not paying for me every time. Like, yeah. I'm leaving, you know, yeah. What is this date?
Yeah.
And you didn't even give him flowers and whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm not like that. I'm fine with paying sometimes, you know, like probably in the first 2 or 3 months of our relationship, he paid most of the time and he pays probably at like our big going out dinners for like occasions. But I don't mind paying whenever we're going somewhere out, just like for Saturday dinner, you know, it's not a problem to me.
Yeah.
And then another thing is gifts. As we talked about, Slavic girls expect big gifts, cars, and you know, when the new iPhone comes out, it's instantly the new best gift ever, or like AirPods or something.
Perfume.
Exactly. Something extremely expensive doesn't mean if it's worth it. Just the thing that it's very wanted, you know. But me personally, I love to give gifts to just people, you know. It's one of my love languages. I love giving gifts and seeing people's reaction, like to my family, my friends, and my boyfriend. And I loved, you know, giving him, you know, expensive gifts as well. Like, he would give me expensive gifts for, you know, my birthday or our anniversary or Valentine's Day. And I didn't mind giving him, you know, pretty pricey gifts either, you know, on his birthday. I loved seeing his reaction. And, you know, and then one of my thing that my parents just told me, like, oh, Dasha, you're not a dude, you're not a man, you're not supposed to give him expensive gifts. Which I was like, why? Like, men deserve that.
Yeah.
You know, why? Like, what am I supposed to give him? Shaving foam and socks?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I feel like I would be robbing him off of that, you know? Yeah. Especially that I know my boyfriend loves gifts.
Yeah.
And why not just treat him for this special occasion, you know?
Like, so, you don't want to spoil my baby sometimes.
Exactly. You know, it's nothing bad about spoiling your man.
Yeah.
Nothing bad about spoiling your man. You know, like, you're just showing your love.
It only makes, gonna make it better.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just,
Murphy said one time, he's like, there is this love language, I don't know what it's called, it's when you like to receive gifts, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not a love language, baby. That's so cute. That was so cute. He's like, yeah, I love receiving. I'm like, who does it?
You know?
But I think it's like more of like, he appreciates the love language of mine.
Exactly.
Which is gift giving and service giving.
Exactly. Which I'm not really sure about. Is your love language when you have a love language, does that mean that's how you express love, or that's how you want love to be expressed to you? I'm not really sure.
I don't really know. I think it's more of how you express love
mm-hmm.
to someone, like physical touch, you know, like that's my love language. But I feel like it's also even better when that's how you want to receive love.
Yeah.
Because, like, we always say, you give to somebody something that you would give yourself.
Exactly.
If it's love, that means that you would want to receive that love physically as well, you know? And, but people who have a different love language probably wouldn't really understand that service.
Exactly.
Like, I made you breakfast in bed. They wouldn't like, really be like,
I don't like eating. I don't eat in bed.
Yeah. Or like, is that the love language? Like, yeah. What do you mean? And I don't know. I like me and my boyfriend, we met in school in senior year of high school.
Sweethearts.
You can count that, I guess. Like, we went to prom together. I would say it counts. But we met in high school and we had a film class together and we had econ class together. And it took him a while to understand that I like him too, because I was so awkward with guys. I didn't know how to flirt. I didn't know how to show that I like somebody. I was like so, like, but I could tell when somebody likes me. And I knew he was obsessed with me. Like, I knew for a long time. There's just so many signs. I don't want to brag, but, like, there is just so many signs. Because he's, like, again, in American culture, it's so easy
to tell. Yeah.
To tell. And it's just so easy for them to be open about it.
Yeah.
And to, you know, like,
they're like, oh, like, oh my gosh, she likes me. I'm not going to tell her ever. It's going to be so embarrassing. Just tell, like. Shoot your shot, you're not losing anything.
At least show, like, subtly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna teach my kids how to tell subtle things about somebody. Because I can tell, you know, if somebody likes me or if somebody wants something from me because of their subtle, like, moves, their subtle, like, talks, and then, like, how they, you know. One time I brought guitar to school, and he thought it was, like, he was joking, obviously, and he just sat on the floor and looked at me like this.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he likes me. Like, that's so obvious. And he wasn't, you know, he was never embarrassed about it. It's
just, like, body language. Like, you can just read it.
And he was never embarrassed about it, either. And then, you know, when he found out that I liked him, he was in shock. He was like, what? I thought you didn't like me at all. I didn't know what to say.
Because she's Slavic. You cannot tell.
And I just had a resting bitch face. Would, you know, I did the silly thing asking him who he likes and then telling him what to do with the girl that he likes, and he's like, yes, she for sure doesn't like me or is not even interested in me. But that was, like, kind of my plan, and I was so silly with all these, like, you know, teenage romance fucking movies, books, whatever. But he met my dad for the first time in Starbucks in Barnes & Noble, because my dad... You say, oh, wait until you hear the rest of the story. My dad told me, he's like, I need to see this guy, who he is.
Who is dating my daughter?
Yeah, who is dating my daughter? What is he, what does he want? So I need to see him. That's the language my dad chose. What my boyfriend called it was interrogation. That's exactly what it was. We went to Starbucks together, and my dad was, you know, interrogating him with questions.
What do you want from my daughter?
Yeah, what? When are you getting married?
It was more German, probably.
Yeah, it was a little bit German. Yeah. Like, what do you want? When are you getting married? What do you believe in Jesus? You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
It was just so silly.
And just for context, her dad was a pastor.
Yeah, he was a pastor and very religious. Both of my parents are. But he, and he thought it was just, you know, a talk. He thought, you know, we're having a nice conversation with
just
a cup
of coffee. Nice little tea talk.
My boyfriend was sitting there like this, shaking his leg all the time, so worried about saying anything remotely weird if something comes out of his mouth. He's just, you know, and after that was over, my dad, you know, I went with my dad to the car, and he's like, he's a good guy.
Approved.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I approve. And it means so much when your Slavic
dad
says that or shows any sort of opinion.
Yep.
Because usually they just keep that to themselves, even if it's, like, super good job. They just be like, good.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
If when he says, like, that's a good guy, I like him a lot, I was, like, on the seventh sky.
That means he's, like, he may as well be, like, Brett Pitt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Brett Pitt is not necessarily a good guy. I'm not. Just, like, he's perfect.
Yeah.
For me, with my dad, it was so funny because, I mean, we never had, like, official introduction. I feel like it was like the first time Chris met my parents. I wouldn't say it was like such a big, it was probably like in church or something again, whatever. That's another story. But there wasn't like an interrogation like with your dad. But with my dad, my boyfriend could not understand for the longest time if he likes him. Like, he was like, I'm just scared that your dad hates me, you know? And then at one point, couple of weeks or months after we started dating, I was like, Dad, how do you like Chris? And he was like, yeah, he is a good guy. And I told that to him, and he was like, oh my God. But then after, like, probably a year after, we went to Olive Garden together. And my dad shook his hand, and he pat him on the shoulder.
Oh.
Because he went to meet them. You know, we had already taken the table, and then my parents were, you know, 5 minutes later than us. And then he went to meet them at the front because our table was somewhere in the very corner, you know. And then he went to greet them, and then he pat him on the shoulder, and he was like, your dad pat me on the shoulder. He likes me. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, he's so excited. Like, it's a good sign if a Slavic dad pats your shoulder. It means he
Have
likes you.
Have they never
you.
Hugged?
I don't think so, no. I think they shake hands, but, like, my dad is not that touchy. My dad is not that touchy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Murphy and Dad always hug each other when they see each other.
My dad probably would hug, like, you know, like, the brother hug. you know, with his like very close friend, maybe, or a person he has not seen in a long time, but not like an everyday. Is that how your dad hugs?
Yeah, it's just like a normal human hug.
Well, my dad is more emotional and available than that.
I can't imagine. Yeah, yep. This is a very stereotypical Ukrainian man right there.
He is very, yes.
But like another thing, once we started living together, I noticed a lot more differences. And it could be the thing is that like we're just from different households. You know, when you start living with your significant other, you're just from different households. Like, one of you puts bread in the fridge. One of you leaves bread in the pantry, which, my That's opinion, true. It has to be in the fridge. I don't know why.
I'm the pantry person. Are you I'm serious? Just like, it just lays on the counter. You're I don't know. We just put the bread in the fridge whenever we have, like, two loaves of bread. whenever we have two loaves of bread and one of them, like, we want one of them to stay fresher for longer.
Yeah.
So, we just put the other one in the fridge and then we are eating that one and then we're taking that other one out when it's time.
I know, we always kept it in the fridge, but now I realize that it's, like, so weird.
Yeah.
Like, my boyfriend said, he's like, that's an old person thing. Old people do that. Yeah. I'm like, what? But now I realize, like, I don't want my bread cold anymore. Like, I just, it's easy, go. It's toasted easier.
She's transformed.
Yeah, I have. Or, like, a clean thing, you know, being clean. Yes. In America, Tidiness. Like, you could be messy and it's okay, nobody cares.
A lot of people wear shoes in the house.
Yes,
I'm
oh, yeah.
so That's glad that thing. Me and my boyfriend are on the same page. We don't wear shoes in the house.
I wear shoes in the house now. You see, you transform Chris.
Yes. His family was like that. They're always like that, and they clean, you know, they vacuum every day because they have animals, and they just want to keep their house clean, but I'm so glad we're on the same page. But you transfer to the dark side.
Yeah,
now.
No, the dark side.
We're kind of black and white, if you can tell.
We are. And yin yang.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I feel like I'm more Americanized. I lost my accent pretty much thanks to my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, living with him, I've gotten a little more Americanized. Also, I was living with a roommate in college in the dorm, so that was another thing.
Yes.
But she was really, really tidy. Our suite mates, though, were like complete mess. You know, you would walk by their room and it's just like a tornado walked through it.
Yeah.
And my thing also, like, when you're living with someone, you're supposed to be considerate of others. Like, there's a thing about noise, about, you know, being loud as you can be or whatever. Like, after 7, no vacuuming, no nothing, or, like, any noise. Or before 7 p.m., a.m., so, like, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., like, there should be silence. Because you don't know what other people are doing. Like,
exactly.
You should be kind of considerate of others. Here in America, people don't care. They don't
Especially
think
in
about
college
it.
Towns.
Oh, yes. They don't give a shit. They don't think about it. And it's not in a bad way. I noticed it recently. Like, I was, you know, I would get mad at my suite mates or, like, roommates in college. But now, recently, I think about it, they just don't know. That it's not, that it's bad. And my friend, who was a Fulbrighter here from Russia, she lived with other students from Taiwan, and she was pissed that, you know, they were, like, stay up until 2 a.m. playing games together, being loud as shit, and she, like, one time was, like, you know, like, kind of a bitch about it, and they, after that, never said any, like, never were loud ever again, but it was, but she, you know, in Russia, there's a culture of, like, patience, like, you wait and wait, and you're being patient and patient until you just, like, explode into being, like, you bitch, motherfucker, like, why are you loud all the time, you're dirty pig, and I try to not do that. I try to say what I think right away.
So it doesn't pile up.
Yeah. And, like, my boyfriend, like, I tell him, like, put your clothes in the closet, not on the floor.
Please.
The floor is not for clothes. The floor is dirty. The clothes are clean. If you want to put them on the floor, put them on the floor in the closet. So it's, like, out of my eyes.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, you know? And I didn't want to see anything extra in the room where it's not in its own place. And we, you know, he started doing that too. But You know, it, and it's easier to compromise
yes.
with American Absolutely. Guy. And the Russian guys love to debate and fucking, you know, tell you the opposite opinion because they think they're right. There's so much pride there.
There is.
There's
yes.
so much pride, so much narcissism. And it's just so annoying. Like, guys here in America are, like, less narcissistic, less prideful. They would agree with you, especially if it's your significant other. They would just be like, okay, baby, like, but...
They can compromise, yeah.
And they compromise so easily. But also, if you don't meet the compromise, they can just easily break up. So...
I feel like Slavic guys are just more like, it's my rule. If you don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
The door is over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like I just have, like, very... Probably, I know, very bad stereotypes about, like, Russian guys is that, yeah. like, you know. But I feel like it applies to a lot of guys. It's just that, again, yeah, with American guys, it's easier to compromise and just find... It also depends on the guy. I mean, I feel yeah. like there's some Slavic guys over there who are willing to compromise and are willing to work...
But if they do, the other guys call them healers.
That's true. The heel. Oh my so God, that is so that, true. Like,
peer pressure from
or
men.
Simp.
Yeah, or like they call yes. you a simp, or like there's peer pressure from other men who would look at their friend and be like, "You obey your girlfriend? Yes. Are you a healer? Like you're under her heel, dude. Like yes. you're so weak. What the fuck?
Exactly. And, just, you know, hit your." Arm on the table and just say, like, this is how it's gonna be, woman. Yeah. I'm a man of this house and I said that. That's yeah. how it's gonna be, yeah. you know?
You know, it comes into, like, marriage and then having kids together and families. There's, like, you know, in here in America, marriage a lot of times is, like, a 50-50.
Yes.
You know, you both work, you both, you know, take care of the kids. You know, nobody, if somebody looks at the dad with his kids and tells him, oh, you're babysitting today, that's kind of a red flag because dads are not babysitting their kids. They're yeah. dads. That's what, you know, they're taking care of their kids. You could say a baby duty, but you don't say you're babysitting because they're your own fucking
exactly.
kids.
It's not like you're hired. Yeah. Exactly. That's your
In Russia,
job by default.
It's more common to be like a woman takes care of the kids, you know, dad doesn't really have any, because usually men work like from morning to late night.
Yep.
And just women in general have probably more time to dedicate to kids. Also, that could also be the kind of outcome from the fact that in Russia, women get paid maternity leave.
3 years. Three fucking
paid.
Years.
They're paid. Yes. They're fucking paid. And you get money for giving birth to a third child.
Exactly. So, yours considered a multi-child family, and then
yes,
you get benefits from the government
as well.
Which I have
never heard that term here in America before.
Me neither. Me
like,
neither.
In Russia, I had two classmates mm-hmm. who had more than three kids in their family. One of them had five kids. One of them had, like, six kids. And they were considered the multi-child family, and they would get help from the government, and they would get free lunches at school, they would get, like, free, like, trips.
Bus passes, yes.
Bus passes, discounts, a lot of those things. They're not considered poor, they're just considered a multi-child family, and the government supports that. They
yep.
support, you know, population growth.
Yes.
In America, doesn't matter, you have eight kids, fucking nine kids, 12 kids, nobody gives a shit. Like, you must be rich if you have more than two kids.
That's your fault.
That's
exactly.
your fault. That's your problem. That's your thing. So, like, and like, you actually give money when you give birth here, which is, like,
yes.
around 20 grand if you have, like, emergency C-section. Could be more. But in Russia, you get money when you give birth. Even yep. from with your firstborn, your secondborn, and thirdborn is even more money. You could buy land from yeah. the bonus that they... I don't know if it's like that anymore. It was like that before we left. Russia was like 2016, 2017 was back
yep.
then. So, and that's why families in Russia are highly supported, and women have more time with their kids early on. So, like, it's so bonkers. It was bonkers to me to know that there is, like, 1-year-old babies in kindergartens.
Exactly. And
how
then,
do you just let your kid go at 1 year old in the kindergarten, or like even 8 months, like 8-9 months? Yes. Those first months, first years are supposed to be with you, with your, you know,
bonding
with
your baby. Yep.
Yes, you're like, I want to be the first one to witness their first word. I don't want it to be some teacher at the kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or their, you know, I want to, as a mom, I want to see their first steps. I want to see their, hear their first word, you know, and the, all of those things, which is in Russia, if you're like 4 or 5, that's when you go to kindergarten.
Yep.
Usually, you know, I was 4 when I went to kindergarten in Uzbekistan. So, and that's why women have a lot more time to take care of their young babies early on, because they have maternity leave. Here in the U.S., it's not a thing.
Yeah.
It depends on the state, obviously, but, you know, we're
and
in Georgia.
An employer.
Yeah, and
well.
An employer, but we're in Georgia, and, you know, there's not as many workers' rights. And companies usually abuse that, you know, to the point that, you know, women can't really, like, give birth to kids or can't have a family because they're working so much.
You're a corporate worker. You're a slave.
Yeah.
You can't have kids. You can't have life.
Exactly.
You know, they're...
Or they would prefer to not hire a young woman.
Yeah.
Because they know that down the line, she might, you know, give birth and have to leave the company, or would have to get some paid maternity leave, which is only like 8 months here, I think, or like not even that.
I think it's like 16 weeks, maybe?
It's in weeks.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's basically, I think it's basically 3 months, I think, because my sister just had her maternity leave. It was basically 3 months.
Yeah.
And then it's not enough. It really is not. And you feel like, and also I feel like it's just kind of where men and women, I feel like 3 years, when you're on maternity leave for 3 years, I feel like you might be underappreciated by your significant other for that. And I feel like that happens very often in our countries. Like, oh, you're doing nothing. You're just sitting home with this baby. But being a mom is a full-time job. It's a lot harder than having 9 to 5. You have to wake up in the morning. You have your breakfast. You commute to work. You come back. And then you chill for the rest of the day. Being a mom is a full-time 24/7. No vacations. No sick days. You can't just take a day off. You have a kid.
Yep.
And especially I feel bad for those who don't have like their parents around or anymore, or maybe they're not in the same state, not in the same country. Yeah. They don't have that help. You know, a lot of my sister had help from her parents and her parents-in-law when she had those babies. And it was a lot easier, obviously, to still remain that job that she has right now. But it's almost impossible when you don't have that support and you have to hire someone, but it gets complicated. So, yes, I feel like a lot of men back there, they don't appreciate this, you know, and you're keeping the house clean, you're cooking dinner, and it's exhausting. It's freaking exhausting. Like, me personally, I would cook dinner or lunch, and I'm like, I'm tired, you know, like, after cleaning the kitchen and everything and cooking, and
I would rather
it's
just
exhausting,
do takeout at this
right?
point.
Yes, I'm I know, so and I understand it. Like, another thing. My boyfriend would much rather prefer takeout over cooking in a lot of situations. And I'm like, well, we can just cook. But he's like, oh, we have to clean. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I didn't understand, like, well, why is it such a big deal? And then I realized, I was like, no, I don't want to clean this kitchen because it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And you get exhausted. And imagine doing that all day. And imagine taking care of a baby also. And it's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
So I feel like... men should appreciate that more. I know a lot of men do, both in our culture in Slavic countries and here in America. It's more, I feel like it's more common.
No, yeah, it is.
I hope it is. Like, so, man, appreciate your woman.
Yeah.
And just be nice. Be nice to them because they're going through a lot, especially after giving birth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've heard so many, like, you know, after dinner. I don't know if that's a thing here in America, but in Slavic culture, it's pretty common, like... all the women stay at the table after the dinner and they just talk about like women stuff and they often talk about giving birth and postpartum and how horrible it was to give birth to you and how like whatever all the challenges they went through postpartum, and it's not something I'm excited about, but then, you know, with the right person, I feel like it's worth it.
And international couples like us, you know, when there is like so many cultural differences, so many different views on the world, politics, religion sometimes, but you still find those little things you love about each other that those differences are not there anymore, and you're like the same person. Like, we've been dating for 2.5 years, but it feels like we've been dating for 10.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how similar we are. We're like the same person, but just like I'm a different, girl and exactly. He's a guy.
Exactly.
And even though like I'm from completely different background, completely different family style. Like I have a small family. It was just like my parents, my brother, and my dog. Now it's dogs. And then he has this big family from like all over the States. He has so many relatives that he knows, you know. Or, like, you know, he has two sisters. I only have, like, one brother. Me and my brother are close. Him and his sisters aren't really. And it's just, like, still there's a lot of differences. But we're so similar. And, like, our differences, the cultural differences, like, it's kind of like a plus. And then our similarities are like a minus. And we're just, like, together so yeah, well.
Like a magnet.
Yeah, like a magnet. It just doesn't matter what the differences are because the similarities are more important, and those differences, even though
they make you guys unique, you yes. have to be a separate person, so you're yeah. two different people. That what yeah. makes you unique,
and you can't be the same.
Exactly,
you know, you can't be, if you're the same, two the same magnets don't stick together.
Exactly,
but if you're different, you stick together because those differences align.
Yeah,
unless the differences are like in, you know, your like worldview, values, all of those things, that's not working. But if it's just like a little differences that you do that make you a little quirky, then, you know, then you're, you know, you stick together. Yeah. And that's like one precious thing about international couples.
That's
and
the beauty of it. Yes.
That is the beauty of it. And then the beauty of it even more is when he's trying to learn your language. Yeah. He's trying to understand your culture. He's asking you all these questions about, you know, where you lived, your history, all of those things. And as a person, as a representative of that culture, you can kind of stop those silly little stereotypes about it and just tell the truth and tell how you feel and teach them your language. And
or try green bean casserole for the first time, in my case.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's definitely, guys, it's definitely about the person. It's not about what background you're from. It's not where you're from, where your parents from, what language or how many languages you speak. It's just about the person being able to be yourself with it. So if you feel like it's right, it's right.
Yeah.
Just, you have to feel it in your heart. You have to feel it in your heart.
And on that note, I think we can
stop.
Submit this.
Yes.
I have a few things I need to say at the end. Thank you for listening. New episode is every 2 weeks on Mondays, as much as we possibly can with all the work and school that we have going on, seeing our boyfriends all the time, spending some time with our significant others. Thank you, David, for providing us with equipment and sound mixing. Follow us on Instagram. Our usernames are in the description or here if I'm gonna edit this. And stay tuned for more episodes. Peace. Cut.